Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Full metamorphosis has been completed. There's this moment where you think you're becoming your dad, or you think you're becoming your mom, or you think you're becoming something. I do want to congratulate you, Tiki, you, Tommy, you, Sean, and every Giant fan out there. And I mean this with peace and love when I say this. You are the New York Jets on every level.
Why are you congratulating us for that?
Because welcome to my world.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the world of sheer, utter embarrassment on primetime under every level. And we'll get to all of it. I want to start here, Teek, and you tell me if I'm wrong. How does Abdul Carter even play last night?
Not sure.
Am I crazy to say that?
No. I mean, it feels like a half measure. It feels like a half discipline. Now, the challenge for me is that I think Abdul Carter is going to be a really good football player. I do think his heart and mind is in the right place. But ultimately, you have to have consequences for your actions. And if this was the first time, it'd be like, yeah, he's just a knucklehead kid. Oh, I hate rookies. You guys know why I hate rookies. All those things that I've talked about over the years. I could just chalk it up to that. But this has already happened before. And, you know, from not what I've heard, but what I'm going to surmise, it's not one or two times. This has probably been multiple times over the course of the Dable tenure in his rookie season. And so why is it only being treated as a slap on the wrist? He said all the right things, Abdul Carter, after the game. I listened to his press conference. We carried it on the post game. John and I chatted about it. He said everything correct, right? Don't make an excuse. Don't put this on Mike Kafka. Don't put this on any. This is on me. This is my responsibility. I have to stand account. But when the result of his action is just sitting down for two series, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it justifies the lack of accountability for being prepared each and every week to do your job. Like, it's interesting. Like, sometimes as fans, you sit around and you're like, oh, they get to play a game. This is a freaking job. And you're paid a lot of money to do this job. There are dudes digging ditches on street corners. There are guys that are taking out trash. There are guys that are laying bricks, that are doing a yeoman's job, making $50,000 or less a year. And you're made millions of dollars and you can't show up? Or you keep putting yourself in position to be disciplined? It's almost like he's forgotten the privilege that has been afforded to him. That he's forgotten that this is not guaranteed because I'm an elite athlete with God-given talent and the ability to rush a quarterback. You have to take your job seriously. And it seems like he's not. And I'm not saying this to be dramatic or to get bent out of shape about it, because we all were knucklehead young kids. But in 2025, when you want to live in the social media world, the social media is going to live in your world. And so he's going to feel the repercussions of this, because we don't care. The consuming public doesn't care about you yet. right? You are still a rookie. You haven't proven anything. You are not in the Ring of Honor. You are not headed to the Pro Bowl. You are not an All-Pro, and you're damn sure not heading to the Hall of Fame. So until you figure all of that out and then make yourself available and accountable each and every week, we don't want to hear from you. So I think Mike Kafka missed an opportunity to truly put him on blast.
Yes! Look, when Mike Kafka was named interim head coach, we sat here and it was funny and it was cute, and we talked about the percentages of him taking this job and how, well, if you win one of these games, it would increase by 15%. If you do this, it would increase by 10%.
Right.
Mike Kafka has assured himself he will not be the next head coach of this team. And it's not just simply that they got their ass kicked by the Patriots last night and got embarrassed, and it should have been worse than 33-15, yeah. If we're being honest.
Mike Vrabel slow played it.
Oh, no doubt. He took that foot off the gas. This could have been worse than that. It's not even that you lost to the Patriots. It's not even that you got blown out by them. It's not that you blew a lead a week earlier. It's that when you came down on Abdul Carter a few weeks ago, I think our first reaction was, wow, I didn't know that was going on with Abdul. Wow.
Right.
Brian Daboll must have been running a ship that was not tight at all. But good job by the first-time head coach. Good job by him.
Yep.
For him last night, because I had no idea. None of us had any idea. We assumed that Abdul Carter was going to learn from his mistake. He's a rookie.
I didn't even realize he wasn't playing until 8 plays in.
Well, that tells us something about his rookie season. But when it is announced, oh, it's a coach's decision, and we don't see him on the first drive or the second drive, and I think it leaked out on social media.
It did.
Prior to him getting on the field, up he was late for another meeting, or he missed an entire team function, whatever it is.
Right.
My brain told me, and this is my stupid brain, what do I know? This guy better not see the field at all. And when he trotted out there at 17-7, the thought I had to myself is Kafka has written his death sentence. What kind of toughness is this? What kind of holding guys accountable is this? Like, literally, this is the second time he spat at you in 3 weeks. And your answer is, well, instead of one drive, we're going to sit you for 2 whole drives. That's embarrassing. If I tried to do that as a father with my kids, I would almost have a talk with myself. All right, Jet, you got to go to sleep early. By early, I mean 5 minutes earlier because you did something bad. Like, that was embarrassing. And I know that's not the main reason they lost. I thought it set an awful tone, and Mike Kafka has ended any discussion, any waste of time on this radio station that this guy deserves to keep this job full time. It's gone. I don't care what they do over the final how many games are left. I don't even know. 4 games left? 5 games left?
4. By week and 4.
Thank God. Thank God this mess is almost over. But that's the thing that jumped out at me the most. Like, literally, 2 possessions?
Yeah, it became the more important talking point as opposed to the 33-15 loss to the New England Patriots, who are just the better team. They're better coached. Drake May, in his second year, is having an MVP-type year. The type of throws that he threw, the lack of pressure and panic, just execution over. And he basically has the same game every single night. 280-something total yards and 2 touchdowns. He's just been great, and Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit for how this defense and offense plays together. It's why they're 11-2 and the best team in the AFC right now. But with that being said, this game, regardless of the drop Theo Johnson touchdown, which would have made it 17-14, whether it's the Younghoe Koo, whatever the heck you want to call that, a field goal attempt, whether it was the punt return for a touch, all of that stuff. It doesn't mean anything because the Abdul Carter story is going to take over the day. It's going to become the more pertinent example of what's going wrong with the Giants right now.
And I'll tell you, there are other reasons why it should, and it is the biggest story, much more so than losing this game to the Patriots. Number one, when you take a player that high, you better be a difference maker. You better be a star.
Right.
He hasn't been that. Now, it's his first season. I think we've all learned our lesson. I thought we learned it from Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas did not have a great rookie season. He's turned into one of the best left tackles in football. So yes. I don't think it's fair to say Abdul Carter is going to be a bust. He's just had a really...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bad first year. Number one, that. Number two, a complete lack of leadership from the interim head coach who's auditioning to be the head coach.
Right.
And this may be the broader issue. How about the leadership in that room? Something you've talked about before. How are the veterans, whether it's Brian Burns or it's Dexter Lawrence, who or whoever else is supposed to be a leader in that room?
I think it's both of them. And I do think that they are talking to Abdul Carter. It's just not translating. And it's all like you hear them making excuses. Oh, our schedule's changed a little bit. And, you know, we say all the right things. We just don't want to beat the drum too hard. He's still a rookie. They say all the right things. So as much as, you know, we could point towards the in locker room leadership of Burns and Dex, it's not, I don't think it's about that. I think they're having those conversations with him. I just don't think he's listening.
Do you think this happens? Maybe it did. So correct me if I'm wrong, with you and Strahan in that room. Were guys doing that when you guys were there? I think you guys were pretty good leaders.
They probably were, but you didn't see it. Right? And again, I'm not going to sit here and say that we were holier than thou, because trust me, we were not. But in 2025, and this is just the reality of the world that we live in, the bad stuff, and I don't mean it with STUFF, I mean it how it should be said, is going to get out there. It is going to become public. It is going to be used to judge you unfairly as a person and as a player. And so that is the burden. We talk about the privilege of playing in the NFL in 2025 or the NBA or whatever the professional sport is. There is also a burden that comes with being in these sports in this era. That is, you can't do anything wrong. You can't flippantly opine about something. Unless you don't care, unless you don't give to you know what, people are going to respond to it. And people are going to judge you based on the actions that you do, the words that you say. It is unfortunately your burden, but it's part of being a professional in 2025. And unfortunately, Abdul Carter is not fully comprehending that, right? He thinks it's just going to go away. And he can apologize, he can say all the right things, but this is nothing to do with the words. It has everything to do with the doing, has everything to do with getting it right and being accountable to your teammates each and every day, each and every game. That's the only thing that matters. And they got a bye week. They're going to be invisible for a week. It's the best thing that could happen to Abdul Carter, because what he needs to do is just focus his ass on football. period, because that's all we care about.
I was very curious after this train wreck of a football game ended to hear from Abdul Carter, as you did. You listened to him with John Schmuck during the post game last night. I was very curious how he would approach this. And I think Abdul Carter basically did two different interviews. And you're going to get to hear it right now. The first part of the interview, I thought he was defiant, and I thought he was a guy who didn't get it. Eventually, he begins to get it.
Right.
Here's the part where Abdul Carter is a defiant jerk. Take a listen.
3 weeks. You didn't start. What happened?
Happens.
What happened?
I ain't going to get into detail. I'm going to say happens.
What is this?
Why, Anto?
Ask me the same question. I just answered.
That's a terrible start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you answer is bleep happens, you just ask me. I'm not going to answer it again. Like, dude, you're the one that needs to die on the sword. You're the one that needs to say, I screwed up. Don't attack the reporters for asking the question that fans want to know. What happened, bro? 2 weeks ago, you sat for a drive. 2 weeks ago, you said, hey, it was a big misunderstanding. What happened? Now, I want to be fair about this, Tiki. That was an awful start.
Yeah.
But I believe he turned the interview process around. Here is now Abdul Carter, and there's no editing other than me stopping it. Here's the rest of the discussion, and you will start to hear a guy who maybe understands he messed up.
Was it justified?
Yeah, I mean, I let my team down today. First two drives, I was out. They scored 17 points. I take responsibility for that. I got to be out there. I got to do better.
Do you feel the message got through?
Yeah.
This has not happened before, Mike Kafka. He's the coach, so is there anything happening since he's been the head coach that you're not doing, or has this been happening?
No, it's not him, it's me. It's not him.
You said it got through this time. What's different this time as opposed to the first time for why it got through?
I won't say it's something different. It's just like, I just got to be better. As simple as that.
What's that feeling when you're sitting on the bench or just standing on the sidelines watching your teammates play without
sickening.
You?
Sick to my stomach.
Did you address your teammates and, you know, tell them you're disappointed?
Yeah, they know how I feel. They know where I stand. Like I said, I let them down today.
When did you find out you weren't going to play the first quarter?
I've been earlier this week.
How difficult have these last few weeks been for you?
Hasn't been the best, but like I said, I got to keep moving on, keep persevering. I've been through worse things, so like I said, I'll be all right.
Off field, has the acclimation been to the NFL a little bit more challenging than you expected?
I guess you could say that, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse. Like I said, I got to be better. I got to take pride in what I do, be where I have to be at, simple as that.
That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was the guy who at least sounded, Tiki, like, hey, I screwed up. This is on me. No excuses. Ain't the coach's fault. Ain't my acclimation to the NFL's fault.
Right.
This is on me.
That's exactly right. So he said the right things. Ultimately, he got to saying the right things. But ultimately, this is about him making football the number one thing. It's got to be the main thing. The main thing's got to be the main thing. All that other stuff, I don't care what's going on. It has nothing to do with what your job is, what you're being paid to do, what you were drafted to do. And I know it's harsh, and I know you have to grow up quick, but it's 2025. That's what's expected of you. You are a top five pick. Everyone expects you to be a star. Everyone expects you to have this weighted responsibility. And yeah, it's not fair because you're still young and you're dumb 22-year-old rookie. It's the reality of the world you're in right now. And it's hard. Trust me. There's a reason that most first rounders are not most, but a lot of them are busts. It's hard. If this was easy, anybody could do it. Anybody who put on a jock strap and a helmet could just go out there and be good and accountable. Like, it's hard to do this job. Don't make it harder on yourself by being a knucklehead. Dexter Lawrence called him that.
Yeah.
He's a knucklehead.
You're right.
Don't be a knucklehead, because it's hard enough when you're just a normal, hardworking, dying to be great type player.
So the first time he messes up, he misses a drive. The second time he messes up, it's two drives. What happens if it's a third time? Would he go to three drives? I mean, things better be different if it happens again. I don't think it will happen again. But then again, I didn't think it would happen a second time either.
I mean, fool me once.
Yeah, that's right. How much the bush line? Fool me once, shame on me. You fool me twice,
shame on you. Know you're not going to fool me again.
We'll get your calls coming up. 888-808-1019. The general manager of the New York Football Giants, his name is Joe Shane. I'm going to ask a gentle favor because I don't know if people realize this. Tommy Lugauer does a great job. He really does.
Yeah,
he's done a fantastic job. And so many of the things he does, you don't even realize. Like, I send him audio all night. I send him old tweets for Posted and Toasted all night. Like, I'm constantly barraging him with stuff for the show.
No biggie. Right?
And he handles it with utter class. So I would like everybody to do me a favor. It's a very small favor, but it's a favor. Just because there are rumors on the internet about our show and other shows and guys who used to work here, maybe with me, maybe with others, maybe possibly coming back. Don't call up Tommy and ask him, hey, Tommy, off the record, can you tell me what? He's not going to answer you. And by the way, I'm not going to answer you. Watch. Ask me if I know anything going on at the radio station.
Hey, Evan, man, what's going on at the radio station?
No comment.
I mean.
No comment.
Whose decision was it?
Oh, well, that's the architect. No comment.
I thought head coach's decision. I thought you were going to Mike Kafka it.
Oh, no, I'm better than Kafka. I'm just going to go with the boring, but no comment. So that's for Tommy and for everybody else. I got no comment.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't either.
No comment.
I'm just saying no comment about any rumors going on involving us or anyone else. No comment. So let's try. Tommy, you want to try the no comment game?
Am I asking or answering?
No, I'm going to ask you.
You got it.
Hey, Tommy, big fan.
Thank you.
Any truth to the rumor that you were going to be hosting with a show with a guy who used to make you get him food orders?
And sodas and his kids' laundry.
Any truth to that? Can you just tell me off the record?
Look, it's all rumors. I have no comment at this time.
There you go. No comment at this time. By the way, we started this show talking about Abdul Carter being late or missing a team function. And that's what caused Mike Kafka to sit him for the first two drives of the Giants game. Joe Shane is meeting the media today. We will hear from Joe Shane coming up in the next half hour to 45 minutes. He also ran late on the time his press conference was supposed to start. So if my sons start doing stuff that I do, it's usually daddy's fault, right? Daddy does it. So I almost think Abdul Carter has a new excuse. Daddy does it.
Right. Joe does it.
Joe hasn't met the media in months, and he's late for his first meeting with the media?
Maybe there's a lot going on today.
Is there?
Including getting your butt kicked last night and the whole Abdul Carter thing, which has become the most ridiculous distraction possible going into a bye week.
I ask you this one question before we get to your calls, and we'll get to so many other aspects around the Giants. And yes, the Mets signed Devin Williams to a free agent contract. We'll get to that later as well.
What? That happened last night, too?
Yes. As Kyle Williams scored the touchdown, it was dueling Williamses at the same time. Are you concerned now that Abdul Carter may be a bust?
No.
Okay.
Not even close.
Okay. Not even close?
No.
See, I would be a little close to it.
No.
Okay.
No, you got to suck for a couple years for me to say you're going to be a bust.
I got you. And we have seen guys. I love using Andrew Thomas as a great reference on this because his first year was a disaster.
Mm-hmm. It's like he didn't know how to play left tackle. And just, you were a great left tackle.
Yeah.
What happened?
And obviously his career has turned around. So I'm just asking the bust question. We'll ask that, Sean, a little bit later on. But let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Gerald is in Harrison, New York. What's up, Gerald?
What's up, Gerald?
What's up, guys? What's up, Evan, Tiki?
All's good.
I was just wanting to say, this team is such a disaster, and I was wondering, at what point do you start to bench guys that and you got to hold them accountable? Seriously. I mean, because it's really a disaster.
You mean for performance?
And I got one other thing,
for
too.
For performance, I don't think you will. Effort, you can do that, but I don't think for performance. What else?
And I just have one question about, like, the Eagles. I mean, what's up with that offense? And they are egging the coordinator's house.
Yeah. That was disgusting.
Yeah, I saw that. That was ridiculous.
That's where fans go too far. Like,
I agree.
This is sports. We all have strong opinions. We yell and scream on the radio. There was a story out of Philadelphia that
Kevin Petullo.
Yeah, kids were egging the house of Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. That's when your fandom goes too far,
right?
And it's disgusting.
Right, it's when you're an entitled little punk, and you hope that somebody doesn't catch you. Because if I caught you doing that to my house, trust me, your papa wouldn't save you. So the challenge in Philly, to answer your question,
yeah,
is I think they miss Kellen Moore a lot. And it's not a knock on Kevin Petullo. He just hasn't done it before. And so he's realizing the challenge of being a play caller with a massive expectation. And by the way, he's the fourth OC in 4 years.
Yeah.
They've turned this position over and over and over again. they've also started to age out on the offensive line a little bit. And so you're just not seeing the production that you saw a year ago.
Matt is in Westchester. Hey, Matt.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
All's good.
What's up, man?
So I got 2 points. I think one is about the next head coach, but I'll start with Joe Shane. I think I look at it a little bit differently than a lot of people do. I think I look at the best NFL general managers compared to any other sport as the ones that do the best around the margins. Because I think in the NFL, it's not easy, but it's easier to just take the stud wide receiver at four or, you know, the top guys. I think where these top NFL GMs make their money is on the margins. And I think to look at the Jets, Muji's doing a great job. I think Joe Shane's worst quality as a general manager is his ability to improve the roster on the margins. And we saw it with the Patriots last night. They got guys all over the place, fifth, sixth, low money free agent guys making plays. And the Giants just don't have that. And the next point I'll make about the next head coach is I'm hearing from a lot of people that they want the proven, experienced guy, the Vrabel. I know Tommy likes McCarthy.
Right.
I think the Giants are at the point where they need a completely new voice with a new mind. Clint Kubiak in Seattle, I think, would be where I would look personally. And what he's done with for Jackson Smith and Jigba, working with Kirk Cousins, Pro Bowl year, New Orleans, I think that is a guy who can come in with a fresh perspective and I think set the Giants on the direction that they're looking for, as opposed to like a, we know the floor we're getting with McCarthy and let's just be happy. Like I think the Giants are in a place with Dart on the rookie contract. You go for the guy that can really take them to the next level.
You reach for the higher ceiling. Clint Kubiak is interesting. His whole family is in the business. His brother is an offensive coordinator in the league right now. You didn't even mention Sam Darnold, what he's done with him. Sam's had a turnover issue, a problem this season out in Seattle, but he has created the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. Jackson Smith and Jigma's got almost 1,400 yards, and there's still four games to go.
Monster year.
And he might be the first to clip 2,000, but we'll see how that goes. He's interesting. I think Chris Shula is also interesting. Those are the young guys who haven't had head coaching opportunities, but I don't remember why he fell out of the conversation last year, Clint Kubiak, because I thought he was going to be one of those young potential stars, and it just never happened this offseason. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not doing these searches. I'm not talking to these guys, but it's going to go one of two ways. They're either going veteran, established coach, Mike McCarthy type, or their only other option is to go someone who has not a proven track record.
And they don't have to pick between the two. Like, no. The worst thing you could do going into a search is saying, I'm only looking at this.
Right.
I hate to give a very simplistic answer, but sometimes what made Joe be great is he would give the most simplest answers, but it's so true. You know who the Giants need to hire? The right guy.
Yes. Take your time finding the right guy. The right leader.
The right leader. And here's the beautiful proof of it, because we just watched the Patriots, right? And you made a lot of comments last night on the post-game show, spot on. We all thought the same thing. Mike Vrabel is awesome.
Yeah.
And he put together a masterclass in coaching last night. And so Mike Vrabel's easy. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, the Giants need their own Mike Vrabel. But then you look at the NFC and you garner through the conference and say to yourself, all right, who's the top team in the NFC right now? Ooh, I see the Chicago Bears. Ooh, similar. Quarterback coming off their rookie year. We need a new head coach. And they didn't hire Mike Vrabel. They hired Ben Johnson, mm-hmm. who we'd all admit, I didn't know what he was going to be as a head coach.
No idea. Knew he was a good coordinator.
But here's what we know. The Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots did what the Giants need to do.
Yeah.
And they found their right guy in a very different way.
The problem is there are no Mike Vrabels available. Are there?
Well, it depends. I think, as we've talked about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, I think Mike Tomlin could be available, and I would put him above Mike Vrabel, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
So I think there can be. I think Mike McCarthy is a wonderful, respectful head coach, respected head coach. Is he Mike Vrabel? It's not exactly the same, other than having the same first name, but Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. Like, he's pretty good. So I think there's different ways to get there. But one thing we shouldn't do, if we're Giant fans or IFOs, is simply put ourselves in this box where, oh, it's got to be a guy with experience. Oh, it's got to be a guy with no experience.
It's just got to be the, you're right.
It's got to be the right guy.
It's got to be the right guy. Hopefully, someone who has head coaching competency, not learning on the job how to be a head coach and making all of those requisite mistakes for a year plus, not knowing how to be a head coach.
But I'll tell you what.
That's what I don't want to see.
100%. And what's intoxicating about last night's game. Last night was embarrassing, and the Giants are the Jets. More on that as the show rolls on. But what's intoxicating about last night is you look at the Patriots roster, you look at Drake May in year two, and you look at Mike Vrabel, and you simply say, why not us? And I know it's tough when you get blown out, but the NFL can change with the right leadership and the right coaching. But here's the problem. This is the problem that the Giants are going to run into. Are they capable of identifying that right guy? The Patriots got it in Mike Vrabel. Maybe the Bears got lucky in Ben Johnson. It's only year one. We'll see. Can the Giants find that right guy? But that's the beauty of football. Like, things can turn on a dime. And they, last night, the team you got your ass kicked by is a great example of that.
Yeah. And I look, I think that the Patriots were kind of always waiting for Vrabel to come available. I don't know who that is for the Giants. Who are the Giants waiting for? Like, who's their guy that, yeah, you know, it took some time, but it evolved into coming to us at the right time. I don't know if the Giants have that person.
Stuart is calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, Evan and Tiki. What's going on?
All's good.
I'm noticing how often the Giants defensive players run into each other, freeing up their target. They were bad in all three aspects of the game. They would be in this game if not for the special teams. And Tiki, it seems like the defense needs to do some tackling drills. They always go after the ball instead of wrapping up, and it costs in yards after the catch, and it outright mistackled. Yeah. They don't take a shot on a second and a 10. You know, why not try to score and make the game close at least? The Pats are missing two of the best defensive linemen, and all of their players had hard hits on us, and not one defensive player showed any fight. Tiki, they need to bring in at least 2 to 3 hardcore defenders that could compete.
Yeah, but Stuart,
until the play is over.
Stuart, they think about the money they spent this past offseason.
They have spent the second most money on defensive talent than any team in the NFL.
Right, and it works in the short-term evaluation because Brian Burns is 100% worth it. And he plays his butt off, and you have no question about Brian Burns' effort in this game, really this season. He's been fantastic. But there's just not enough competing. And, you know, some of it is just being put in the wrong position. Like, for instance, the touchdown to Kyle Williams that led directly to the Devin Williams signing. He must have saw Williams score his touchdown. I must sign right now.
Dude, that was crazy.
Mets. Here we go.
That was nuts.
But the Kyle Williams touchdown, I mean, Paulson Adebo in his first game back since hurting his knee against the Denver Broncos, they're playing this like inverted three. So he's playing press, but the safety's coming down to fill the flat, which is his role. So he basically has to get to the deep third. He's not fast enough. It's like, and so if you're Drake May, you're looking at that matchup saying, all right, there's no safety. So this is either cover zero, and I have Kyle Williams, one of the fastest guys on my team, against a 6'1 corner who cannot run with him. Like, there's no help. There's no help. I don't care what coverage this is going to evolve into. I'm throwing this ball. And he threw it perfectly. So is that Paulson Adebo's fault? Or is that an over-evaluation of what Paulson Adebo can do, playing press man, running with a 4'2", 40 guy? Like, so, like, those are little things. Those don't mean anything. It's just, it's football talk. It's X, above the X's and O's stuff. But when you look at it, you're like, no wonder you got beat. How the hell are you supposed to run with Kyle Williams when you're playing press coverage? You can't.
Mm.
So is that on Paulson Adebo? Or is that on the play call?
So we're going back to blaming the DC again.
I'm not. I mean, but.
No, I know. I get it. It's funny.
It's like I look at that and I'm like, how did you think you were winning that?
Yeah. Yesterday at about 5:30, as we were previewing this game, I asked Tiki, Sean Lugie, I said, look, over the last 6 weeks, it's always been blame this guy, blame that guy.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was you got to bench Russ for Jackson Dart. You got it. Then it was you got to fire Daboll, and you got it. Then it was you have to fire Shane Bowen, and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, if things go bad, who gets the blame?
Yeah, Charlie Bowen did okay. He did okay.
I haven't heard Charlie Bowen's name mentioned by anybody.
He did all right. It's just certain situations they took advantage of. I think it became predictable at a moment. And then we know who the best offensive coordinator in football is right now. Josh McDaniels.
He's damn good.
And he took advantage of it. Drake May had zero trouble diagnosing what was in front of him. Zero. And he picked them apart.
Let's go to Tom in Howell, New Jersey. Hey, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Tom, what's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
All's good.
I got a quick comment, I guess, for Tiki, and then I want Evan's opinion as an IFO about something else.
Go ahead.
Evan, you mentioned about the days of Tiki Barber and Michael Strahan. Just reminded me, I don't remember if you know the documentary, you know, America's Game on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember Michael Strahan saying on one of those videos that, you know, Tom Coughlin had a rule that if you were not 5 minutes early for a meeting, you were late.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That was the mindset.
That was right.
So, you know, obviously things were a little different back then.
Yep, we all got fine.
Evan, for you as an IFO, I just wanted to know about Jackson Dart's play last night also. Do you think he was a little more hesitant being, you know, the whole get down, running thing, kind of like rubbed off on him that he was kind of more hesitant as a quarterback standing in the pocket?
I didn't sense that at all.
Yeah.
I didn't sense, here's the way I would view Jackson Dart right now. And we'll get into this more because I think it's a worthy discussion. I think everybody, Giant fans, the national media, everybody is being way too sensitive to every decision he makes when it comes to sliding, not sliding, or running and making a play.
Yeah.
And I ask you this question because I'm going to give you my IFO opinion on what I thought at the time. When he took the monster hit out of bounds.
It wasn't, but keep going.
But it looked like one. But it wasn't.
It looked like it. It
right?
wasn't.
It looked like this violent, crazy hit. It led to a fight right after. You saw Theo Johnson immediately say, I got to stand up for my guy.
If that was a fight, then I got a house to sell you.
Well, fights are used.
Pawtucket.
Man, why do you pick Pawtucket of all places?
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
I think you're going to say Nantucket.
I think it's Bridge in Brooklyn to sell people.
No, but it's the bridges have already been sold. That cliche's been around for so
long. What
about
Swampland in Florida?
How do you believe? In the Swampland in Florida, that's been around forever. How about a little home in Pawtucket?
He's being original, Tommy. That's
exactly
what he's saying.
I'm trying to make it my own cliche, my own idiot.
On that play.
I guess that makes me an idiot, though.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll find out Friday at 5:30 on our brand new segment, Idiots with Idioms. I think Jackson Dart's trying to make a football play. He's trying to get a first down. And there's a fine line between not trying to do that and also being safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's always that risk that someone's going to try to hit you, which is exactly what happened. But I looked at that and said, am I really killing Jackson Dart for that play?
No.
Or are we being too sensitive about our discourse around him?
First of all, Theo Johnson, he did the exact right thing by confronting Ellis, Christian Ellis.
Yes, with two S's, by the way.
Yes. Mm. The problem was He didn't actually really confront him. How did he get a penalty on that play?
That was a Fugazi penalty. He shouldn't have called anything, honestly.
He walked up to Christian Ellis, maybe bumped into him. He walked up aggressively. Maybe he bumped into him a little bit. Perhaps he said something offensive, and that's why he got sticks and stones may break my bones type of thing. But I did not see a penalty on what Theo Johnson did.
I almost feel like they had to because it led to the, if you don't want to call it a fight, we'll call it a skirmish.
Yeah.
Is that a better word?
Yeah, but that was not egregious. He just kind of like was in his face.
I agree with you, and it completely short-circuited the drive because remember, Theo was called for a false start, which pushed them back, and then Dart made a 7-yard run, which would have set up a 3rd-and-1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He was a little bit short of a first down. I don't think they would have gone for it because they were on the negative side, and knowing Mike Kafka, they probably wouldn't have. They would have punted.
No, it would have been Jackson Dart's run was on 2nd down.
Right, which I'm saying would have been 3rd-and-1.
3rd-and-1.
So I apologize. You're right. I don't know why I'm
right.
Mind blanking.
Fourth down,
you're right. No, it would have been a 3rd-and-1.
Instead, it was 3rd-and-15. 16 or whatever the heck it ended up being.
Exactly. But I didn't look at that play as anything egregious. You know what I thought it was?
What?
I thought it was horrible timing for the discourse around Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
I'm being dead serious. The guy just missed a few weeks with a concussion. All we're talking about is, does he slide enough? Does he take too many hits? And on the second drive of the game, he takes, and I do agree with you, Tiki, after watching the replay, I didn't think it was that bad of a hit, but on the surface, it felt like, a big hit.
Yeah.
A hit a quarterback normally doesn't take.
Yeah, but it's a hit that most people, that a lot of football players take, and I promise you, that hit did not hurt. I know you can look at it and say it over and over again, man, that was brutal. That was vicious. That's one that's going to live forever. That was his welcome to the NFL hit type of thing.
Right.
That hit does not hurt because he has no force. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he just goes, it's like inertia, right? He goes with the force of Christian Ellis and just topples over. Now, if he's leaning in and trying to like combat Christian Ellis' force, then that's going to hurt. But because he absorbed all of that force. The only thing that hurt him maybe was hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That hit did not hurt. I promise you it didn't hurt. And that's why he was so dismissive of it after the game, despite being asked over and over and over and over again about, you're going to protect yourself, you're going to protect yourself, you're going to protect yourself. He's running out of bounds.
Well, but this is the problem sometimes. And this is why I freaking hate primetime football sometimes. Because everyone else, I'm not talking about you, me, and everyone listening. We're all New York football fans, New York sports fans. Even if you're a Jet fan, you watch the Giants, you know what's going on.
Of course.
But we are welcoming in the national community to our game and our team. And they spent a lot of time on that broadcast on the pregame show talking about Jackson Dart and being reckless and protecting himself. And Troy Aikman's like, he's Jim McMahon. Can he protect himself? That's all we heard about. So 5 plays in, when he takes a hit, and I'm using bunny ears right now, or quotes, whatever you call it, the discourse explodes.
Right.
I don't think he did anything that crazy.
I didn't think so. I thought he protected himself significantly better in this game by, one, not running. Think about the 2-point conversion, right? They score the touchdown.
That was unbelievable.
To make it,
when he escaped
make
like it, 15
right.
times?
Right. It's now it's whatever it is, 13 to whatever the score was for the 30 to the 13. And he's just scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, he's going to try to run that in.
Right.
Like he's buying as much time as possible to throw the ball, not to try to run it in. Because he could have tried to run to the right side after he cleared it, whatever, the fourth time back to the right side. He could have run and just powered his way into the end zone. Instead, he waited for Darius Slayton to come down field to him. And he threw a high ball, hand caught it, and scored a 2-point conversion. Like, to me, that was growth. Because in previous iterations of that type of play, he's running. He didn't.
Yeah.
So I think he's learned. And again, I'll go keep saying it, that hit did not hurt.
It just, it was perception.
It looked bad.
It looked bad, and it happened so early in the game after all this discourse
right.
about Jackson Dart being reckless that it was the perfect storm of let's go nuts about something.
Right.
It's exactly what happened. More on Jackson Dart. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And we are about to hear from a man who has not spoken in months, but he has climbed up from the hole that he was in over the last few months. Joe Shane addresses Giant fans. We're going to hear from him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.